Good morning. Good morning. Everybody enjoying the extra hour? All right, at least one person showed up here at an hour before. I've done that before, so I know, I feel your pain. It's an honor and truly a privilege to be given another opportunity to stand before you this morning and proclaim God's word. Sometimes we think we have a pretty good idea of what we want to say when we come up here, but all the people that speak up here will tell you every now and then God throws a little wrench in the works, and you got to go back to the drawing board. Amen? Still getting used to that whole section being empty. It's spooking me up. But it's great to be here and to see all you lovely children of God. I've got to make sure I don't read from this announcements page. I'm covering it up. Okay, there we go. The title for today's message is Miracles in Progress. Miracles in Progress. We'll be looking at a passage of scripture this morning that I think, what's the time? The Seahawks don't play till tonight, right? Oh, okay, we got all the time in the world. I don't care about all those other people. I don't see any other jerseys here today. We're looking at Acts chapter number 16, the 16th division of the book of Acts. And most, if not all of us in here this morning and listening from wherever we may be, have read, studied, heard of, or listened to messages on this particular section of scripture. That is no accident, as the entire 16th chapter of the book of Acts is rich with truths that have direct applications to our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. I'm sure all of you realize here this morning that the Bible, while it has all genres of literature, is not just a book of stories. Amen? It's, I will tell you what the Bible says about itself. All scripture is inspired by God, right? And is profitable for us, is useful for us, is food, spiritual food for our souls. And so when we dive into the scripture, we should always be looking for practical ways in which we can apply that scripture to our daily walk with God. Amen? So while our main text today will cover certain verses, our main text is verses 25 through 34, we will just set a little bit of context and pull out a few things from the beginning of the chapter. Wish we will not read that part of the text. The chapter begins, chapter 16 of Acts begins with Paul tapping Timothy to come alongside him in furthering the spread of the gospel. We see in verses 4 and 5 that they continue to spread the gospel according to the apostles' doctrine, and that the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number each day. Okay, they continue to spread the gospel, what? According to the apostles' doctrine. We need to always continue with the simple gospel as laid down in the scriptures. Okay, the church of today is coming up with a lot of programs and gimmicks and different things with the intention of increasing the likelihood of, let me quote Pastor Jim, putting butts in the seats. Amen? We need to continue to stick with the simple gospel as laid down in the scriptures. Romans 1 and 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The power to change lives is in what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel has the power in itself to change lives. God created us to fellowship with Him. We sinned and broke that fellowship. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on our behalf to pay the price for our sins and reestablish the fellowship with Him. If we believe in Him and accept His finished work, we are saved. While there are other things that can enhance the worship experience, it is only the true, simple gospel that saves. Amen? And once you've been saved, you have all you need to spread that gospel. Amen? You don't really need to have a theology degree. You don't need to be a seasoned orator. You don't need to have a course in interpersonal communications. All you need to do is be able to speak and tell somebody that one day I was lost and now I'm found. I confess my sins, and Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, came to live inside of me. And now I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Amen. That's what we need, the true gospel. We also see something else very interesting in verses 6 through 8. It is apparent from that scripture that Paul has set up and planned to visit different areas to spread the gospel. We see in verse 6 that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit from preaching the gospel in Asia. And then again in verse 7 that the Holy Spirit did not permit them to go to Bithynia. So they instead ended up in Troas, where Paul has a dream and where he receives a calling to go to Macedonia. What's the Bible telling us here? Paul was obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Too often, we have plans and good plans. Right? Good plans in line with God's will. Preaching the gospel is in line with God's will. But we have to align our timing and our plans with God's timing and God's plans. Too often we have plans and then we try to encourage God to come alongside of us. Amen? When we should be the ones trying to snuggle and come alongside of Him. Because guess what? It's His work. It's His business. It's not our business that we're carrying on. It's God's business. So Paul listened and was obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He realized that God was in control and he was not. Too often we have our dreams and plans and do not allow anything to get in the way of carrying out those plans. We will do them no matter what, not even the voice of the Holy Spirit. Bad things happen when we don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? His voice will usually not be the loudest voice in the room. I don't imitate the Holy Spirit very well because I tend to talk loud. His voice will normally not be the loudest voice in the room. And sometimes in order to hear the Holy Spirit and Him leading us and guiding us and directing us, we need to get rid of some of the noise in our lives. That's a subject for another day. I won't go down that path. We just need to get rid of some of the noise. So someone may ask, why would the Holy Spirit stop someone from going somewhere to spread the word of God? The answer is simple. God has something else planned, and His will is sovereign. Amen? His will is sovereign. He can see the end from the beginning, and we cannot. Things we consider disappointments are sometimes God orchestrating events and people for His glory and for His purpose. There's no disappointment with God because He already knows what's going to happen. Amen? We may consider something a disappointment, but in the end, God is working something else out that we can't see. But we stand upon the scripture that says God works what? All things. Not a few things. Not some things. All things for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. So whether we can feel it or not, whether we can see it or not, whether we understand it or not, we stand on the word of God and just trust Him, knowing that no matter what we're going through, no matter what doors seem to be closed in our face, He's opening others and wishing we will get with the program and walk through those. Amen? Some of us pout and complain so much about a door that's closed in front of us that we fail to see the four other open ones. God always has a way. In any case, they end up in Macedonia after Paul was obedient to the Spirit not to go to Asia. They end up in Macedonia where Paul casts a demon out of a certain young lady. She was making money for her handlers by using divination. And by casting out that demon, he rendered her incapable to continue making money for those handlers. They got so angry that they conspired to have Paul and Silas thrown in jail. They were thrown in the most secure part of the jail, like a jail within a jail. In today's world, we'll call it the IMU, the Intensive Management Unit, where the biggest troublemakers end up. That's where they threw them, because they wanted to make sure that they couldn't cause any trouble. But God was doing something. See, God was doing something. God is always doing something. The problem, we got to stop and focus on Him to see and fall in line with His plan. God had a plan. So we go back and see that they were forbidden to go this place and that place because He was trying to orchestrate and put certain things in line to do what He was planning to do. Amen? God is always doing something and working out his plan for our lives when we are walking in his will. Amen. God is always doing something and working out his plan for our lives when we are walking in his will. A lot of times we can't see it. A lot of times we don't understand it. Frankly, a lot of times we don't like it, because sometimes it can be very uncomfortable, disappointing, all of the above. But we need to trust him at all times. Now, with that background out of the way, let's look at our main passage for the day. Acts 16, 25. I'll read 25 and 26 first. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Have you ever found yourself in a midnight moment? Trapped, burdened, broken, discouraged, despondent, imprisoned, whether realistically or just in our minds. Yes, I think all of us have been there. Maybe nothing good happens after midnight, but some good things happen at midnight. We see one right here. Amen. Paul and Silas were beaten, imprisoned, and shackled. Yet at midnight, they chose worship over worry. They chose proclaiming God's greatness over complaining about their situation. Complaining is easy. That's a natural state. They chose the joy of the Lord over the jeopardy of their predicament. The passage reminds us that when we lift our voices in prayer and praise, something happens. Heaven responds. God hears us. The scripture says he inhabits, he lives in the praises of his people. Yes, it is possible to praise in prison. Their feet may have been shackled, but their voices were not. Paul and Silas didn't wait for daylight for deliverance or deliverance. They worshiped where they were in the dark. The scripture says that God is our present help in trouble. Amen? He's always there at the right time. Every time, he's there at the right time. He's never too early, he's never too late, because his timing is always perfect. Midnight symbolizes the deepest part of our struggle. But guess what else midnight symbolizes? It's also at the point where night ends and day begins. Amen? It's the turning point that begins the blessing of the Lord intervening in our situation. Yeah. The psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. See, I'm looking for, oh, there she is, hiding behind my friend. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We have to endure to see the breakthrough. Amen? What else? Their worship, this passage tells us, was not private. It was public. The prisoners were listening to them. You see, what they were doing was not just lifting themselves up, but they were also affecting the environment in which they found themselves. Your praise can sometimes be someone else's breakthrough. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise can sometimes be contagious. Verse 26 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake. God doesn't always whisper. Sometimes he has to shake things up. Sometimes some of us need a lot more shaking than others. Amen. But the miracle was not in the earthquake. The chains fell off. Get this, not just Paul and Silas, but the scripture says everyone's chains were loosened or loosed. Because they were obedient to God, because they praised him, because they worshiped him, chains were loosened for everybody there situated in the prison, and not just for the two of them. Verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them to his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. The jailer was understandably terrified. He thought all was lost. He was about to do himself in. The chains were loose. The doors were open, but that was not the miracle. Too often, because we're not as tuned in to God's plan as we could be, we jump at the first inkling of something starting. And we don't wait to see what God is really doing. Amen? The earth shook. Chains were loosened. But God was still moving. God was still moving. And Paul and Silas knew that. And because of their presence, no one else got up and ran out. Everybody was still there in the jail. Then something interesting happened. The jailer asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Who talk anything about being saved? At that point, no one had talked anything about being saved, but he knew. Number one, he felt guilty because he had been sleeping when the earthquake shook him and woke him up. But he knew that there was something different about these people. He knew that there was a divine presence upon their lives. And he knew that the reason that they were in there was to effect some change for him and his generation. So he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And they told him. They shared the gospel with him, replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." How many of you know that salvation can be contagious? Contagion isn't always a bad thing. It doesn't mean you can catch something from somebody else, right? In fact, it should be contagious. It shouldn't stop with us. We can't keep it to ourselves. No matter where we find ourselves, what station in life, it is our duty, responsibility, and I would even say our privilege to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I always tell people there's enough people out there to tell of the good news of Jesus Christ, that we don't have to compete with other churches for members. Amen? Let's just continue to spread the word of what God has done for us. The scripture says that night the jailer washed their wounds, received baptism, and rejoiced with his family. You see, God had put a lot of things in place to lead out to this outcome. Because he had a plan that this particular jailer and his family were ready for his kingdom. You see, where we find ourselves planted, be it in the workplace, be it in the school, be it in the neighborhood, at home, wherever we find ourselves, God has a purpose and a plan for us. And it's a plan to bring glory to himself. Not for our enjoyment, not for our comfort, but to bring glory to himself. I'm going to ask worship team to come up. How many of you know that worship is warfare? That sometimes we find ourselves in certain situations that we don't even know how to begin praying because it's such a desperate situation. I challenge you, when you find yourself in those situations, just open your mouth and begin to praise God. Begin to worship Him. Begin to tell Him how much you love Him. And He's right there with you. Remember, it's never His plan to harm us or destroy us, no matter what we go through. Do we believe that this morning? It's never God's plan to destroy us when He takes us through stuff. It's like iron sharpening iron. And it's like gold being refined. You see, it's got to go through that fire in order to burn out those impurities and have it come out shining on the other side. That's what God is doing with us when He takes us through stuff. He responds to our faith and takes us through those situations and leads us to those miracles that He has already foreordained for us and those around us. Salvation is available to all those who believe. Amen? Don't despair when you find yourself in the midnight hour. Because right after midnight, a new day begins. Pray. Praise Him. And expect those chains to fall. Because when He shows up, good things happen. We just need to fall in line with His timing, with His plans, and with His purposes. God is a good God. If you're here this morning and you have not confessed your sins and asked Jesus to become your Savior and Lord, I beg you, don't leave here without doing that. You see, the greatest miracle, in my opinion, is going from death to life. The miracle that God performs in each and every one of us when He accepts us into His kingdom, where we were on a certain path to eternal separation from Him, and He said, "No, my child, come. Come, I love you too much." His word says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so all these things that He put in place in the story that we did, the account that we just read, were leading to the salvation of this jailer and his family. What a great reminder of how good our God is. And how we can see ourselves as part of His plan for a hurting, sick, dying world. But guess what? It's also a wake-up call that we need to do our part. We need to tell others of the goodness of God. Encourage somebody. Let them know God is still in the redeeming business. He's still in the healing business. He's still in the encouraging business. And there's no better place to be than in His will. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You're a God of chances. Oh, Lord, You know some of us needed many chances. But I thank You that one day You showed up and made a change in my life. Father, we thank You for those that are here this morning. We thank You for those that have come with needs this morning. For we know You are a need-meeting God. So we just commit those needs to You this morning, whatever they are. Physical, emotional, sickness, financial, relational, whatever they are, Lord, please speak to them right now in Jesus' name. Let Your spirit move in our midst this morning, Lord. Touch somebody, encourage somebody this morning. Renew someone's hope this morning and restore someone's joy, Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, we thank You for meeting needs. We thank You for Your people, Lord. Oh, I pray, Lord, that we will be emboldened to speak Your word, to tell others of what You've done for us, Lord, and encourage somebody that comes along our path, because that may be just the reason that You send them across our path, Lord. We just bless You this morning. We exalt You this morning. We give You all the praise, Lord, for You deserve it. Dismiss us now with Your blessing. And may Your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.